Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. Return with us now to the 1950s. Not everyone back then believed that progress meant the atom bomb and bigger tail fins. This installment is called Gene Shepard versus Creeping Meatballism, and I hope you'll stay tuned. Last week's show was mainly a long monologue on the search for authenticity, with or without a motorcycle. At the very end, I mentioned two synonyms for the opposite of authenticity, plastic and creeping meatballism. Since then, I've been thinking that creeping meatballism could use a little more explanation. Credit for that term goes to radio great Gene Shepard. In the buttoned-down, suburbanized America of the 1950s, there were a few disruptive voices to be heard. One of them belonged to late-night radio personality Gene Shepard on WOR AM and FM in New York City. Late at night, five nights a week, Shepard would talk for long stretches about, apparently, whatever came to mind. Door-to-door salesmen, tail fins on cars, magazine advertisements, history, sports trivia, books, and also the very unimpressive nature of what people liked to call progress. In any show, he'd weave together a half-dozen topics that no one had ever woven together before, or since. Donald Fagen of Steely Dan wrote a fine essay on Gene Shepard. Fagen said that the best term for Shepard's art is word jazz. No offense to Ken Nordin. And I think Fagen is right. Word jazz. We'll hear Shepard himself in the second half of this show. But back to creeping meatballism. In 1957, Shepard published an essay in Mad magazine, of all places. Mad was a better magazine back in 1957. So was the Atlantic Monthly, but don't get me started. Anyway, the article was titled, The Night People versus Creeping Meatballism. Now some definitions. The night people are the good guys. Shepard's late-night listeners, perhaps. The hip people, independent thinkers. Their opposite is the day people, the conformists, the mindless consumers, the Pepsi generation. People who believe that if it's heavily advertised, it must be worth buying. People who have no original thoughts in their heads. That's the day people, and the world they live in is called the day world. And the name for their philosophy of life is Creeping Meatballism. Today, their grandchildren walk the streets. They're easy to spot. They're the ones who feel so much better about themselves because they've upgraded their Apple iPhone 5 to the latest Apple iPhone 6. Progress marches on. But return with us now to yesteryear, to 1957. And to judge from Shepard's article, nothing really has changed since then, except cars lost their tail fins. Let's put on a little period background music and have a listen to Gene Shepard's essay. I've condensed it a little. The Night People versus Creeping Meatballism. Shepard writes, in the language of day people, I suppose night people may be called many things, like soreheads, wise guys, eggheads, long hairs, outsiders, etc. Whatever they're called, the fact remains they're a genuine phenomenon. They're the people who refuse to be taken in by the day-world philosophy of creeping meatballism. The average person today thinks in certain prescribed patterns. People today have a genuine fear of stepping out and thinking on their own. Creeping meatballism is this rejection of individuality, its conformity. The American brags about being a great individualist, but actually he's the world's least individual person. The guy who has been taken in by the meatball philosophy is the guy who really believes that contemporary people are slim and clean-limbed, and they're so much fun to be with because they drink Pepsi Cola. As long as he believes this, he's in the clutches of creeping meatballism. He's a day people. Let me give you some examples of creeping meatballism at work. We'll take something that's artistically interesting, and then, because we like it, we'll overdo it 10 times, thereby destroying it. Like, for example, when Cadillac first came out with those little tail fins. Everybody thought it was great. Guys with Chevys and Pontiacs went out and bought phony tail fins, which they tagged on. And all the car manufacturers began to see that there was a thing here. So the next thing you know, every car has fins. A couple of years ago, we had a horsepower competition. Now there's a fin competition. In the day world, the car with the highest and longest fin is the car everybody's interested in. I go into a drugstore to buy a small tube of toothpaste for my traveling kit, which is the only size it will take. And I say, I want a small tube of toothpaste. And the clerk says, okay, and he gives me this tube, and on the side it says large. So I say, what's this? I want the small one. And he says, this is the small one. And I say, it says here, large. And he's getting irritated because I'm beginning to probe into his psyche. This has bothered him a little bit, but he's never said anything before. Well, the large is the smallest they make, he says. Which means it is totally impossible in the day world to buy anything that's small, even if you try. Today, everything has a badge. Take men's suits. I go into Macy's basement, where they sell cheap men's clothing. And incidentally, they don't call them cheap. They call them budget-minded. And here they have this big rack of men's suits, and it says, Custom Brand. And I say, custom-designed suits? Who are they designed for? I thought custom-designed meant designed for an individual. And the salesman says, well, you see, they're designed for us, the basement. That means it's impossible in the day world to buy a standard rack suit. All suits are custom designed, even if they're designed for the rack, and they fit the hangers beautifully. Today, no man is without a medal. I know a department store where they had all day people working, and these people began to rail at being called employees. There's something about being called an employee which makes you sound like a second-rate citizen. So the guys upstairs started to think about this, and they figured the best thing to do was to change the name. So now, all the people who work for this particular department store are no longer called employees, but associates. And everybody's happy. They've had about a 25% decrease in quitting, fistfights, etc. Because they're associates now. It's impossible to be an employee there. Just as it's impossible to buy a car without fins, or a small tube of toothpaste, or a standard rack suit. Here's a wonderful example of creeping meatballism. On Wide, Wide World one week, they took these cameras down to Florida, and they said, a lot of you people have never been to Florida, and you want to know how Florida looks. So, here's Florida! And they showed all these palm trees and girls in bathing suits, and it looked like Florida. Only what happened was, when they took the cameras down and set them up, it didn't look the way they thought Florida should look. So they actually went out and got 25 prop palm trees and set them all around, and got some girls to walk around in bathing suits, even though nobody wore bathing suits in that part of Florida. and all the meatballs all over the country sat there and said, "Yeah, by George, there's Florida, all right. That's the way Florida looks." Which means that creeping meatballism has taken hold of geography. There's a great deal of confusion about what is progress. I think one of the fine examples of the difference between day people and night people can be observed when they both watch Betty Furness do a commercial for Westinghouse. You know, the one where she says, "Another new miracle has been wrought. Mankind once again progresses. The new Westinghouse refrigerator for 1957 opens from both sides." Well, a day people sitting there says, "By George, we really are getting ahead." And he feels great. He can see mankind taking another significant step up the great pyramid of civilization. But a night people watching this thing can't quite figure out what's the advantage of a refrigerator which opens from both sides. All he wants to know is, does it keep the stuff cold? He's not quite sure there's been any great mark of progress while there's still wars and stuff going on. Every one of us, I don't care who he is, has a certain amount of night people in him. Because no matter how many refrigerators you buy from Betty Furness, no matter how many custom suits you buy, no matter how many cars with fins you buy, you're still an individual. And I'll say this, once a guy starts thinking, once a guy starts laughing at the things he once thought were very real, once he starts laughing at TV commercials, once he starts getting a boot out of movie trailers, once he begins to realize that just because a movie is wider or higher or longer doesn't mean it's a better movie, once a guy starts doing that, he's making the transition from day people to night people. And once this happens, he can never go back. Or so says Gene Shepherd in his celebrated 1957 essay, The Night People Versus Creeping Meatballism. Okay, this piece is not a radical analysis. For Shepherd, it's all up to the individual. The word corporation never appears here, let alone capitalism. There's no inkling in the essay, for instance, that there's a whole field of study called industrial psychology. And through empirical research, that field discovered that employers can extract more labor from their workforce at less cost by giving employees a false belief in their own power and a false belief in their own importance to the company. That's the reason why department store stock boys are called associates rather than stock boys. They don't do it just to be silly. They do it to maximize profit. Shepherd's essay reveals no understanding that the economic elite and the political elite benefit from citizens turned into unthinking, conformist consumers. The economic and political elite profit from creeping meatballism, and they work hard to perpetuate it. That's not Gene Shepherd talking, that's me. Among entertainers, George Carlin and Bill Hicks caught on to this. And maybe Donald Fagen, too, speaking of. Think of Steely Dan's song, The Royal Scam. But not as early as 1957 they didn't. So we'll cut Gene Shepherd some slack for his lack of radicalism. Also, the guy needed to keep his job. But if Shepherd wasn't there yet in the 1950s, you could hear he was on the right track. And you shall hear in a minute. He was very good at debunking the sense of progress that the day people celebrated. And he was very good at debunking our increasingly abstract mechanisms of credit and exchange. Like those newfangled credit cards and green stamps. Are you old enough to remember S&H green stamps? I remember green stamps in the 1950s. Postage stamp-sized stamps. The supermarket would give you a certain number of them based on how much you had spent. Back then, I got to lick the green stamps and paste them into a special book. Fill up enough books, and you could go to a redemption center and trade in your stamps for a new toaster, or a waffle iron, or a set of chrome-plated swizzle sticks. Your choice. We'll hear about 10 minutes from Shepard's show of May 2, 1959. He talks about green stamps and credit cards and the false notion of human progress. He talks about the heroic sacrifice of Ronald Metzger. He recites some real advertisements and some fake advertisements, too. And there's much other stuff, too, which I had to cut out. Shepard doesn't use the term creeping meatballism here, but that's basically what he's talking about. When you hear a beep, that's where I snipped out a bunch of stuff. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Enter the colossal Around the World contest. Details at the Grand Union near you. Save cash and stamps at Metropolitan New York, New Jersey Grand Union supermarkets. You know, they're working out a scheme to give green stamps for your life. I mean, you know, we have developed this new philosophy of nobody ever really pays for anything, really. In the end, he gets enough green stamps back, and he gets enough discounts so that nobody ever really shells out. You realize that, of course. Slowly but surely, mankind is gradually inching himself forward towards that great, great golden glow in the horizon that he's been going after on his hands and knees ever since the first one crawled out of the first primeval mud puddle and shed his last pair of vestigial gill covers. And he says, look at that light over there, Charlie. Let's go. And so they started to crawl toward the light. Everybody left their caves and started to crawl toward the light. And we've been crawling toward it ever since. We're getting close to it now with the green stamps, you know, and everything. We'll be there yet one day. Right there in the middle of all that light. Yes, Ronald Metzger was a man with a mission. Find out what Ronald Metzger did for all of us. These and other thrilling moments will be yours in the next 45 minutes on the Harold Murchison Show, brought to you by the Fulfillment Corporation of America. Guaranteed to make your life richer, deeper, with more significance, and certainly more meaning to each and every one of you, which is all of us, really, in a way. We've been digging for this. Dear Mr. Shepard, did you know that one of Merrill Hoag's feet was size 6.5 and the other size 4.5? Signed, the baseball fan. How's that for a statistic? Ronald Metzger was a man with a mission. You'll find out what Ronald did for all of us before the end of this program. Yes, this is the Fulfillment Corporation of America once again greeting you as a friend. Put her there, friend. Yes, we're your friend. We're going to fulfill you. Oh, boy, it's going to be a great, deep, wonderful, singing, beautiful, rich, verdant life before it's all over. So come on, put your hand out in a friendly, soldier-like fashion. Here's the thing that speaking of that, you know, have you ever felt that you don't have the secret? Somebody sent me this clipping, and they said, Dear Mr. Shepard, here is a note on how to make big money in the senator business. And this makes me kind of, you know, I feel this inside of me. I will read this to you without comment. Helpful hints on the art of making and keeping friends were given recently by a man who has spent his public career as a human relations practitioner. I thought he was a legislator. Senator Lyndon Johnson, among those best applicable to life insurance. 1. Listen to the things you must do to make money in the senator business. And maybe you can apply these to your poor little miserable sniveling life. Maybe it'll work out for you after all. 1. Learn to remember names. 2. Be a comfortable person so that there's no strain in being with you. Be relaxed and easygoing so that things don't ruffle you. Here's a kind of a nice one. Study the scratchy elements of your personality, even those of which you may be unconscious, That's going to make it very easy. That's a very simple thing to do, to study the scratchy elements of your personality, particularly those parts of which you are unconscious. And I'll tell you how you can do that. Scratchy elements in your personality. I wonder if Voltaire had a lot of scratchy elements. Jonathan Swift. All kinds of little scratchy things sticking out. How to make money in the senator business. So don't give up. Ronald Metzger was a man with a mission. And it's going to work out. I'm in a very embarrassing... This is the paperback gallery. Ronald Metzger, do you have my Gothic music there, please? I think that we might as well level and tell you what Ronald Metzger did for us. But before we do that, fellow sufferers, I see where this... I saw this little note in the Times. I suppose you saw it in the... I'm a great fan of want ads and stuff. It says, for sale, fully equipped 100 million volt electron accelerator in good operating order, built by General Electric Corporation, served as a fine instrument for basic research laboratory, the University of Chicago. You know what that is, don't you? That's an atom smasher. It's a 100 million volt atom smasher. Wouldn't that make a wonderful hobby? I mean, it really would. This thing is a giant thing. You could have it installed. It's much more fun than ham radio, Jimmy. You have it, and it's certainly, because most of the guys who are interested in ham radio are not interested in talking to anybody. They're interested in the gadgets. Where would you put it? In your basement. Yeah, it's true. It's not portable mobile, and you can't work anybody on six with it. Oh, think of the fun you'd have. Can't you just hear them? Boom! The neighborhood rocks. They said, that's old Charlie down there. That's old Jimmy. He's smashing some atoms tonight. Boom! By George, he gets fun out of life. Boom! Yes, sir, he sure really digs. Boom! He has more fun than anybody. 100 million volt one. That's very, very easy. They have a buy now, pay later plan. So you can extend it indefinitely. Everything. They're fixing out a credit card so you won't ever have to pay for your life. You know, I have a feeling that one day we're going to be born. When people are born, they're going to be automatically given a special non-wear-outable card which is attached to their hand, which is their universal credit card for life. And they just charge everything all through their life. And, of course, capital punishment would be the tearing up of that credit card by the judge. He just tears up the credit card and you're done. You have to skulk out in the bushes back of the Howard Johnsons forever and ever and ever. We have a communique. What did I do with it? A communique from a guy who sent me a wire, and he said that the Howard Johnson at the New Bedford Exchange on the Pennsylvania Turnpike now has 26 flavors in stock, in spite of the big sign that says 28. But he says that's the best he's hit yet. Yes. So we're moving along. Oh, boy, here's where I... Listen to this. Don't you feel gothic? Don't you feel like you got little gargoyles growing out of your ears? And your eyes are long, slanted, tall, thin windows with deep panes of blue stained glass peering out over a rich, moving, undulating gray world made of old granite, pockmarked by the erosion of time. Gothic. Ronald Metzger was a man with a mission. He climbed into his farm truck, drove to Marshall, Illinois, swung the truck onto the sidewalk, and bowled it clear around the square, shearing off 33 parking meters like corn stalks. He whooped with glee. Woo-hoo! The sheriff jumped onto the running board to break up the game, but Metzger pushed him off. Metzger later declared from behind bars that his only regret was that he had missed two of the offending meters. Do you realize that Ronald Metzger gave it up for all of us? He did it. This is a brief eulogy to Ronald Metzger behind bars in Marshall, Illinois. Oh, Ronald, we know that you are a man among men. We stand awed. We stand, nay, indeed, in the shadow of thy immense image, O Ronald Metzger of Marshall, Illinois. We realize, of course, that there are but few men who can ever rise to the great heights of attainment and courage and tenacity such as you have. That the sort of courage you showed was courage far and above and beyond the call of usual civilian duty. The kind of courage that rises above and above and above the small modicum of animal-like, ferret-like courage that we have in our tiny grain-like lives. And so Ronald Metzger, man among men, who got into his farm truck and drove to Marshall, Illinois, swung his truck around the sidewalk and sheared off 33 parking meters, doing it for all of us. Ronald Metzger, we can but stand and salute thee. Avant, avant, O Metzger. There, he gets the note of supreme ecstatic joy. That's in New York. And don't forget, the Grand Union special today is ready-to-eat smoked hams. Full-cut, shank half, only 39 cents a pound. Details at the Grand Union near you. Save cash and stamps at Metropolitan New York, New Jersey, Grand Union supermarkets. Harold Murchison here. We'll be back tomorrow night at 9:30 for the Fist Fight Hour.
The incomparable Gene Shepherd, radio broadcast from May 2nd, 1959, with a further analysis of creeping meatballism and why you want to be one of the night people, not the day people. And with that, I will bid you adieu, first thanking you for listening to New World Notes. On the web, find us at newworldnotes.blogspot.com. And on that very page, you will find my email address. And if you'd care to write, I'd be glad to hear from you. Or you can leave a comment on the webpage. That's newworldnotes.blogspot.com. We come to you from the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. For New World Notes, this is Kenneth Doust. Illegitimite non carborundum. Please keep the aspidistra flying, and, as Gene Shepherd always liked to say to the night people, Excelsior!